front of you, and also on the back if you have a more confidential prayer request that you don't want to share out loud later in the service. Please put it on the back here, and then with both of those cases, just fold it up and put it in the offering plate when the offering comes around later. Also want to tell you about a few corrections in the bulletin. I don't read music, and so sometimes in the hymnal there are two hymns that look the same, but the music is very different. And so the last hymn about In Christ There Is No East or West, that is page, what is it? It says a four. The last number is a four. It should be a five. So we're singing the one that you're more familiar with. And also in the reading of the call to worship, there is the word, the last sentence where it says everybody, all, where we all say that last sentence together. There is a word called pressing, and it's supposed to be press. So take the ing off. If you follow this up here, it is correct. And if you find any other mistakes in the bulletin, don't blame me, it's too late. Are there any other announcements?
Good morning.
Good morning.
There is a pylon in our parking lot here with a big circle drawn around it. And the city is going to tear that up because below the pylon is a valve that's leaking about, according to them, 10,000 gallons a day. It's going someplace. We don't know where. They have to dig it up and then remove all the muck that will be in there, haul it away, replace the valve, and fill it in again with Class 5. And that will take place one day this coming week. Dana Stanko could not give me a date. He's looking for a contractor to do that work for him. So I'm hoping it won't be on Wednesday. I recommended to him that he not do it on Wednesday because of our family table and all the goings on that takes place then. And so he'll advise me and let us know when that's going to be. But there will be a, they will not blacktop it after they finish it. They can't do that until spring, and so we'll just have to live with it. It'll be Class 2 until that happens. If it begins to sink, then they'll have to come in and refill it again. They can do that any time during the winter. Anybody have any questions on that? Okay.
How long will the water be off in the building?
Just a few hours, actually. Just a few hours. They'll have to turn it off up at the corner, and they will get the job completely done in one day, according to Dana. Let's hope it's not Wednesday.
Any other announcements?
Just wanted to remind everybody that we do have Women's Fellowship at 1 o'clock on this coming Thursday.
Are we making blankets? Okay. And also, trivia night is coming up on November 2nd. If you are getting a team together, please let me know. Or if you want to be part of a team and you don't have one yet, please let me know. And I will connect you with whoever is creating one. Let's prepare our hearts for worship. Join me in the call to worship. God of spirit and flesh, God of heaven and earth, God of grape and grain, we spread our wings in flight towards you.
We spread our arms in fear.
We sense your spirit sailing on the fall wind and singing in the soul of each one gathered here. May your light shine through us to light the world where despair drowns dreams and heavy hearts shiver in lonely cold. Let your presence press through us and infuse the world with joy. Join me in prayer. God of life and Lord of all, hear our prayer today as we call your name. Settle our hearts and renew our minds. May our lives sink with your heart as we worship you today. Amen. Let us join together and sing "We Worship You, God" on page 26 of your hymnals, and we'll do verses 1, 4, and 5. And please stand if you are able. Abroad, around and above, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Our bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air. It shines in the light, it streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in you do we trust, nor find you to fail. Your mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. The peace of God be with you. Let us take some time to welcome our friends and our neighbors and greet them with the peace of Christ. Be seated. We are coming to the end of our incredibly long series in Acts. We have two more weeks left, this week and next week, and then we start something new. And today, I thought it would be kind of interesting to read the scripture in a different way, with instead of just one person reading it, that we would have multiple people reading it, and each person would take a part. So we have four characters today that have parts. We got a narrator we have Paul, we have a lawyer, and then we have a little minor part by a guy named Felix. So, I didn't line anybody up. Felix has a tiny part. The narrator has a littler part. Paul has a bigger part. And the lawyer, of course, has a long part. He likes to talk. So is there anybody who would like to volunteer to be the narrator? Tom, come on up. Yes. And I'm going to have you use this microphone. And then I have kind of a long part for Paul. I should have asked for Paul in the first place. Paul is the long... Tom, would you like to do Paul?
Instead of the narrator?
Instead of the narrator. Okay. You're going to have... Okay, I'm going to switch you up then. I'm going to put you in the lectern then. Oh, don't need the mic. And then who wants to be the lawyer? Not saying you are a lawyer. Don, come on up. You're a lawyer named Tertullius. No, the narrator does. And you're going to be up there. And I need a tiny part, and you can stay in your seat by Felix. It's two lines. And they're highlighted. And you don't even get to talk until the second page. Now, Mary, don't say you'll do it and then pass it to somebody else. I know how you are. And how about I be the narrator? Is that okay? All right. Wait. I forgot to give you the mic. Okay. All right, hear the word of the Lord. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders and an attorney, a certain Tertullius, and they reported their case against Paul to the governor. When Paul had been summoned, Tertullius began to accuse him.
Your Excellency, because of you, we have long enjoyed peace, and reforms have been made for this people because of your foresight. We welcome this in every way and everywhere with utmost gratitude. But to detain you no further, I beg you to hear us briefly with your customary graciousness. We have, in fact, found this man a pestilent fellow, an agitator among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, and so we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to learn from him concerning everything of which we accuse him.
The Jews also joined in the charge by asserting that all of this was true. When the governor motioned to him to speak, Paul replied,
I cheerfully make my defense, knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation. As you can find out, it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem. They did not find me disputing with anyone in the temple or stirring up a crowd either in the synagogues or throughout the city. Neither can they prove to you the charge that they now bring against me. But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I worship the God of our ancestors, believing everything laid down according to the law or written in the prophets. I have a hope in God, a hope that they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Therefore, I do my best always to have a clear conscience toward God and all people. Now, after some years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offer sacrifices. While I was doing this, they found me in the temple, completing the rite of purification without any crowd or disturbance. But there were some Jews from Asia. They ought to be here before you to make an accusation if they have anything against me. Or let these men here tell you the crime they had found when I stood before the council, unless it was this one sentence that I called out while standing before them. It is about the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today.
But Felix, who was rather well informed about the way, adjourned and hearing with the comment.
When Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case.
Then he ordered the centurion to keep him in custody, but to let him have some liberty, and not to prevent any of his friends from taking care of his needs. Some days later, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him speak concerning the faith in Christ. And as he discussed justice, self-control, and the coming judgment, Felix became frightened and said,
"Go away for the present. When I have an opportunity, I will send for you."
At the same time, he hoped that money would be given to him by Paul, and for that reason, he used to send for him very often and converse with him. After 2 years passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and since he wanted to grant the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. Here ends the reading of God's word. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, lady. You don't want that microphone anymore? I know you tried to pass it off. I knew it. Heidi, you need this, I think, later on. I was in seventh grade, and I was 13 years old. And I was in English class with a teacher named Ms. Lemoness. Her and I got along okay, and because I was the youngest in my family and she was an older teacher, she knew my brothers and sisters, most of them. And some of my brothers and sisters were good, some not so good. So sometimes I had a target on my back. And one day, we were taking a spelling test. And I was doing my best. I was not a very good speller, still am not a very good speller. But I was doing my best. And I was doing average in her class, getting a C. And as I was taking this test, I was thinking about the words that she was saying. And all of a sudden, she came over to my desk and took my paper away and said, "You're cheating. You get an F." And I had no idea what happened. And I defended myself and said, "No, I wasn't." And she's like, "I saw you. You were cheating. You were looking on somebody else's paper. You get an F." And she walked away. I had no defense. And I protested in the middle of class, saying, "I didn't do that. I've never cheated." And she called my parents, and I was embarrassed because it was in the middle of the class period. My friends were laughing at me. Some believed me, some didn't. And I got home and I had to deal with my mom and dad. And they asked me, "Is that true?" And I said, "No, here's what happened. I was sitting there and I was taking my test and I don't know if I was looking around or if I was thinking, I don't know. But then she took my paper and she told me I got an F." My mom just kind of nodded her head and said, "Okay then, I believe you." And I still failed my test. It still affected my grade. I played basketball, so I had to miss a few games because my grade went down because of my F. And I lost the trust of my teacher, Ms. Lemoness. We left Paul a couple weeks ago in Ephesus in the middle of a riot during his third mission trip. Now, today we read that Paul is defending himself against the high priest from Jerusalem and the elders, and he's in front of a Roman official in Caesarea, and his name is Felix. The high priest brought a lawyer to plead their case against Paul. They wanted Paul in prison, if not dead. Okay, so how in the world did we get from a riot in Ephesus to a court hearing in Caesarea? I have the answer. We skipped a few chapters. That's what happened. I want to fill you in on what happened in between the time we left off a few weeks ago to the time that we are reading about today. Paul finished his third mission trip, and he went back to Jerusalem to report back to James, who is the leader of the Jerusalem church. And he also reported back to the Christian leaders in Jerusalem. Paul told them about what God did among the Gentiles and the church leaders, and they were excited about what God was doing. But on the other hand, James needed to warn Paul what was going on in Jerusalem. And he told Paul that there were lies being told about him, and that the Jews and the Jewish leaders that Paul teaches, let me rephrase that. The lies that were being spoken about him were about how Paul teaches the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from the law of Moses, that they shouldn't circumcise their children and give up all their customs. These were the lies that were being told. And these, of course, were not true. That was not Paul's intention. His intention was to speak about Christ. And I don't think that it surprised Paul at all that these rumors were happening. The Jerusalem church had an idea. They told Paul to go to the temple with some men, four of them, and perform a purification ritual to make him clean. And he was told to pay for these four men to have this ritual done and to show his support for them and make a sacrifice. It was a 7-day process to do this. And it wasn't something that he had to do. It was something that was optional for him. It was voluntary to show the high priest and the Jewish leaders that Paul is still very much a Jew and in line with Moses' laws. But it didn't work. There were some Jews from Asia, where Paul was traveling around to do his mission work. They came to Jerusalem, and they stirred up the crowds. This is kind of the MO of the entire book of Acts. Paul goes someplace and riles somebody up, and they stir things up even more. Well, they came to Jerusalem, and they seized Paul while he was in the temple towards the end of his purification ceremony. And they took him out of the temple, and they began beating him up. A Roman commander and his troops broke it up, and he put Paul in chains. And then he asked, "What's going on?" And the commander ended up taking Paul back to the barracks, with the crowd continuing to try to do harm to Paul. Even when Paul tried to speak to the crowd and try to explain himself, nobody would listen. And they hurled accusations at him, and they demanded his arrest. They demanded his death. And the Roman commander ordered Paul to be stretched out so he could be flogged. But Paul claimed Roman citizenship. That comes in handy every once in a while. And the commander was alarmed in hearing that Paul was a Roman citizen, and so he released Paul and said, okay. And then he assembled the chief priests, his accusers, and all the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish leadership. And Paul began to speak to them again. But the chief priest, as Paul started saying his defense, the chief priest ordered somebody standing near Paul to slap him in the face. And that didn't sit well with Paul. And he called the chief priest a whitewashed wall. And that's a pretty big insult, because that means Paul believed that the chief priest was a hypocrite. He looked good on the outside, but inside he was a mess. He was a whitewashed wall. And the commander ended up taking Paul back to the barracks because nothing was getting solved. Meanwhile, there was a group of about 40 Jewish men who plotted to kill Paul, but the commander found out, and he secretly sent Paul to the Roman governor Felix, who was in Caesarea. And he sent over 400 men, armed Roman soldiers, to make sure that Paul got there safely. Felix ended up waiting for Paul's accusers to show up. So when Paul got to Caesarea, Felix put him in prison, waited for his accusers to get there. And a few days later, the chief priest, Ananias, showed up with a lawyer. And this is where our story begins today. Paul was being accused of something that he didn't do, or maybe didn't mean to do. He was accused of being an agitator among all the Jews throughout the entire world. He was accused of being a ringleader in the sect of the Nazarenes, also known as the Way, or as we know them now, Christians. And he was accused of trying to profane the temple because they were saying that he had the audacity to bring a Greek into the temple, which was a huge no-no. The Jewish leaders were dead set on framing him and taking him to court in order to get them out of his hair. They thought Paul was breaking Jewish law. They thought, as we have heard many times this week, the word corrupt. They thought he was corrupt. See how this can get messy today? After the week we've had, Paul pleads his case, then was told that he needed to wait. Well, Paul waited, and he waited. And at one point, Felix and Paul discussed issues of justice and self-control and the coming judgment. And it scared Felix to the point where he put Paul back in the cell. And over the next few years, Felix would send for Paul pretty frequently and discuss things, hoping that Paul would bribe him and give him money of some kinds. Maybe he would let him out. But Paul never did that. And so Paul sat in his cell. Over the next few years, after 2 years, Felix, the governor, was replaced by a man named Festus. And Felix left Paul in prison and left him sit there, not really having a closing to his case. Our current political scene can easily be applied to this ancient story. And I don't typically talk about politics, but I think this week it's been a little crazy, I think, for all of us, for this nation. We have Joe Biden and Donald Trump being accused of corruption, both being accused of corruption, both accused of breaking the law. And our country, it seems, feels like it's being torn apart. And I wonder if the ancient Christians of that time and the ancient Jewish people of that time felt like their world was being torn apart. Did they feel threatened? Did they feel confused? Did they feel angry? And did they feel like they didn't know who to trust or what to believe? In times like this, I have to go back to my 7th grade English class. I was accused of doing something Ms. Lemoness swears she saw me do. And I paid a price for it. My friends questioned me, my parents questioned me. I was embarrassed. I missed a couple of basketball games, and Ms. Lemoness never trusted me again. Now, I know as a 7th grade spelling test does not compare to really what is happening in U.S. politics right now. But maybe we can learn something from it. In my case, my true friends believed me, and they stood by me. And in the story today, in Paul's case, there's part of the story that says Felix allowed Paul's friends to stand by him and take care of him while he was in prison. And in our current situation in the U.S., we see friends standing by both men who have been accused. Now, in my story, I told the truth, and I did my best to have the integrity even when my teacher said otherwise. And in Paul's case, he also had integrity, and he did not offer a bribe or use his time and used his time in prison to write and encourage the churches that he visited in his 3 journeys. Many scholars believe that the New Testament letters of Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians were written when Paul was in prison. And then we look at our current situation in the United States. We have yet to see who is telling the truth. And I know that there are some here today who have their opinion. Some very strong opinions, and that's okay. And I understand that some of us would disagree and maybe argue respectfully about what is happening this week. And that's okay too. I think we can respectfully disagree with one another. And I'm not here to solve the world's problems or tell you what to believe. I am here to tell you this ancient story that seems to speak loudly to us today. Our current situation is nothing new. People have been accused of corruption, of lying, of cheating for centuries. One thing that I have learned in my 49 years of life is that people can be very devious. And I have to step back and say, if I were to ask you, if you have ever been accused of something that you didn't do, could you think of a situation? We probably all could. Maybe it was in junior high like me, or maybe it was college. Maybe it was a work situation or a family situation. We all have been wrongly accused at some point in our lives. With all this craziness, with all the craziness that is happening, I do believe in our government system. I have faith in our elected representatives, both the right and the left, and the balance. I believe in the balance of the three branches of government. And for as much as people are devious, I do believe that people are also good. But most of all, I believe in a God who cares very much about us. God cares about individuals, all individuals. And I believe God cares about justice. I believe that God cares about government. And I believe God cares about other countries and other people groups, and even those that we may see as enemies at this moment in time. I don't know the outcome or what will happen in 2020. I don't even know what will happen tomorrow. But I do believe God does. And I need to trust God and continue to love people the best I know how. So let us continue to focus on what unifies us rather than what divides us. One of my favorite times of the month is when we get together, the pastors get together. Father Tim, Pastor Andrew, Pastor Judy, and myself, we get together once a month for breakfast. We are very, very different. And we disagree on many things when it comes to politics, when it comes to theology, when it comes to how we live our lives and social justice issues. We are very, very different. And we could have a wrestling match in the middle of Vittles and Joe if we wanted to. But we choose not to. We come together and we ask each other, how can we pray for you? And we share prayer requests. And we focus on what unifies us rather than what divides us. Today is World Communion Sunday. All over the world today, this morning, we come to the same table. It is not my table. It is not your table. It's not Union's table or UCC's table. It's not a Democratic table. It's not a Republican table or even an American table. It is Christ's. It is Christ's. And we join together with people from every nation, people group, color, race, gender, age. And we unify at this table. So after I dry my tears, let us prepare our hearts and our minds together at this table with people from all over the world to unify and focus on what we have in common rather than what separates. Amen? I don't know what we're doing next, but I seem to say that every week. We're singing a song, and I'm drying my tears, and it's all on camera. Oh, boy. Can you edit that, Miho? What was that?
I'm not going to edit.
Edit nothing. Zoom in. Let us sing. What page are we doing, Heidi?
591, this is my song.
591, this is my song. Let's stand and sing. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, let's share our prayer requests, our joys, our concerns. I think I've pulled myself together now. Any prayer requests or praises?
Two prayer requests. My brother-in-law, my sister's husband, he has cirrhosis of the liver, and no, he doesn't drink. He's a Mormon. and he's had kidney failure now, too. He's been in the hospital 3 times in the last month. And he's not doing well, but they hope they figured out a new path, and I hope so, too. But I would like prayers for him. His name is Charlie. And also my brother's wife, who has and I can't even say what it is, it's a weird infectious disease, an offshoot from the old tuberculosis. It's a non-tuberculosis something. And they have to do infusions. He's on 3 antibiotics, and they have to infuse twice a day, and it's 7 different units, and it's ripping her apart. She's a tiny, sweet woman. But anyway, it's a difficult time, and they need all the prayers they can get. The prognosis for my brother's wife is good, but it'll be a minimum of a year before they'll really see the full results, which I hope are good. And my sister's husband, they don't know. My brother's wife is Marilyn. So if you would just keep them in your prayers, please.
Absolutely. The Griggs, yeah. Or did we?
Do you want to?
Do you have an update on the Griggs? Otherwise, I can update.
Cheryl Griggs fell Thursday. And was in severe pain, so she's taken to Brainerd. They found she has a hematoma of the leg, a large bruise of the leg, no breakage, and came back yesterday and is climbing stairs. Can you believe it? The interesting part is I said goodbye to all my union friends and lake friends, and the last minute, my daughter came up and we should drive home together. She flew up from Cincinnati, and at the last minute, I said, you know, I'm going to stay, and I felt comfortable with that, and I was there to call the ambulance and do a lot of things, including the driving, and so I'm glad to be back for a while anyway.
And we love having you here, Mary, and grateful that you were there when she needed help. Any other prayer requests or concerns? Okay, let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you today knowing that you are a God who sees all and knows all and understands the hearts of men. God, we thank you that you are a God who loves more than judges. That you are a God who sees and does not turn away from his people. God, we thank you for being faithful. We thank you for being tenacious in your love. God, we ask for our country. that you continue to work things out in the midst of chaos and confusion, arguing, and even hatred. God, may you be at the center of it all, working it out. God, we ask that you be with our representatives, our congressmen and women, our vice president, our president, the Democratic candidates. God, we know that you love them all. We know that you have walked with them since they were children. God, we thank you for our country, for putting us here so that we can have freedom and worship you in the way that we want and that connects with you best. God, we ask that you continue to lead and guide our leaders, continue to lead and guide us as people. And God, we also pray for other nations who have gotten swept up in whatever is going on, that has gotten swept up in the confusion and the craziness. We pray for those countries as well, because we know that you're God of those countries also. And God, when we look at our little community here in Minnesota, we have cares and needs around us. We pray for Carol and Al. God, we thank you that Mary was there to help Carol when she fell. And we thank you that you protected her and that there is only bruising. And we ask that you continue to heal her. And we ask that in a time where they're in need of more supervision and more taking care of, we ask that you open doors to a place where they will be safe. God, we also pray for Charlie and Marilyn as they go through health issues. We pray for Charlie as far as having a liver that is not working properly. We thank you for the doctors and nurses who believe that they have created a new path for him to get treatment, and we ask that that new path works. And we also lift up Marilyn to you as she is struggling with this disease that is just weighing and is always in the background. We ask that you heal her as well. God, there are many other prayer requests that are out there. Some of them have been said, some of them have not. And we pray for our friends in this community who might not be able to get here or who might be sick today. And we ask that you surround them with your peace and your presence and let them know that they are loved. And we pray now the prayer that Jesus has taught us, and we say in unison, Our God, and hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we who trespass against us. But deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for this morning's tithes and offerings? You may be seated. I'm not on the ball today with a clicker, am I? Let us begin to prepare our hearts and our minds for the sacrament of Holy Communion. Join me in the prayer of confession. Eternal God, from the beginning of time, you have called your children into communion with you. Yet we confess that, like all the rest, we have turned to our own way and refused your love and grace. Restore us to the joy of knowing you and recognizing your reign among us through Jesus Christ, bringer of good news. Amen. The God whom we know in Jesus Christ is a God of mercy and a God of love. When we are disillusioned with others and ourselves, God still accepts us as we are and continually moves towards us with forgiveness and comfort. We are freed by God's love to live in the freshness of each new day. We are freed to reach out to one another in a community of sympathy and joy. For these great gifts of love, let us join together and sing. And I'm going to ask that you remain seated as we sing. Let us break bread together, verses 1 and 2 on page 330 in your hymnals.
Thank you.
in the company of all believers, in every time and beyond time. We come to this table to know the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God Most High. On the evening that Christ was betrayed, he was gathered in a room with his friends, accused of something that he didn't do. And at some point during the meal, he took some bread and he raised it up and he blessed it and he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took some wine and he poured it and said, "This is my blood, a new covenant that I make with you. Take and drink it. And every time you get together and you eat this bread and you drink this wine, you are remembering me until I come again." My friends, this is not my table. This is not your table. It's not Union's table or UCC's table. It is Christ's table. And all are welcome to partake of it, whether you are a member or not, whether you are from this denomination or not. All are welcome at this table. And as we remember that we are joining together with all brothers and sisters from all over the world, at this moment in time, sharing and coming to this table all together. My friends, the table is prepared. Come, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, remember me. This is my blood, a new covenant that I make with you. Take this, drink. Let us pray together in unison. God of love and peace, as we gather in this place at this table, we have tasted and we have heard the signs of your love for us. Grant that we may go away from this place filled with your love for you and overflowing with your love for those who are around us and who share our lives. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Let's stand one last time and join together and sing, "In Christ There Is No East or West," and we will do verses 1, 2, and 3. East or west, in Christ, no south or north, but one community of love, the whole wide world. In communion find. Receive now the benediction. May the God of love, Creator, go with you this week. May Jesus shine through you, and may the Holy Spirit guide you in all that you do. In Christ's name, amen.
it's kind of nice too.
Well, strange. It might still be going up. This one, you got to press the button at the bottom.
Yeah. It was in the kiosk, so everything was in the kiosk.
Went but upstairs.
Yeah. Because I didn't want to throw them out.
Yeah.
So, we'll take a look. It won't be hard to take a look.
There's two more. And I was, as you're playing the organ, I'm thinking, you know, you could do it all on the piano if you wanted.
Well, sweet. I like a variety. Yes. I've had a lot of piano. I played the organ maybe a month ago or so. Yep. And now Kathleen, I think, will play the next three Sundays. So.
And then she'll be gone for the winter.
Yes. Oh, people.